Sixth and final Lenten Vesper service. And also please note the whole Holy Week schedule printed in your bulletin. Beginning on Palm Sunday, this Sunday, join us for all the Holy Week services, the holiest week of the year. We turn to page 229 for the order of Vespers. Please stand.
O Lord, open my lips.
For the enemy
pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead.
Thank you.
James, excuse me, Jesus, Peter, and the servant girl. At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come up with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. This has all taken place that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. All the disciples deserted him and fled." Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and took him away. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garments behind. They brought Jesus first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Then they took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the chief priests, elders, and the teachers of the law had assembled. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for all the people. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty, and brought Peter in. It was cold. The servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. One of the servant girls of the high priest on duty at the door came. When she saw Peter seated there in the firelight, warming himself, she looked closely at him and said, "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus. Are you not one of this man's disciples?" He replied, "Girl, I am not. I don't know him. I don't know or understand what you're talking about." Simon Peter went out into the entryway, and the rooster crowed. A little later, when the servant girl saw him again, she said to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them." Again, he denied it with an oath, "I am not. I don't know the man." About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Then Peter began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed again, and the Lord Jesus turned and looked straight at Simon Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And Peter went outside, broke down, and wept bitterly. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Lenten Response Read, page 231.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies.
Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. The last time that I had the opportunity to preach here, we talked about the way in which Peter will falter in his bold confession and will disappear the closer and closer we get to the cross of Good Friday. Tonight we see Peter do exactly that. Now, Peter's name actually means rock, right? Rock man. In other words, this is one who will be known, Petros, for his great confession of who Christ Jesus is. Yet tonight, he is anything but a great confessor of the church. In the moment when things get tough for Jesus, Peter disappears after being challenged by, of all things, a servant girl. This is about as bad as it gets. Peter, the rock, is scared, anxious, and deserting when random bystanders offer him the slightest critique and simplest of questions. Do you know Jesus of Nazareth? By the end of Peter's threefold denial, St. Matthew will record that Peter went outside and wept bitterly at what had just happened. And I think if we were the ones in this situation, we would have done the same thing. Peter goes from a confident, bold, brash disciple, willing to follow Jesus to the very gates of hell, and then, during Holy Week, he becomes just another member of the crowd, leaving Jesus and his own bold confession behind. If Jesus is building the church on Peter's confession, then this is some rock to build your institution on. Of course, we know this isn't the end of the story. After our Lord's resurrection, Jesus will meet Peter on the beach, and he will reinstate him. Jesus will offer Peter a threefold line of questioning, and in Peter's threefold confession, he will repent. 3 times Peter will answer Jesus' questions with, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus tells Peter this will indeed be his confession. Peter will go on to become a martyr for the faith, crucified for the sake of his Lord, all the while bearing witness to what Jesus had done for Peter through his life, death, and resurrection. So what makes the post-passion Peter so very different than the one that we see right now? Well, the answer is, after the crucifixion, Peter will no longer be relying on himself, on his own faith, on his own fervor for the gospel. Instead, he'll be relying on what Christ Jesus has done for him. You see, it's not the faith of Peter that endures to the end. Instead, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that calls, sanctifies, strengthens, and enlightens the Christian, Peter included. He will recognize that through this power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus can forgive even Peter's denial and his betrayal. You see, Passion Week is a week full of denials and betrayals. In many ways, Peter and Judas can be seen as two sides of the same coin. Judas turns our Lord into the authorities so that they can put him to death. Judas also feels remorse over what he's done. He tries to return the money that he was given as he handed over an innocent man to condemnation. Yet Judas ends his life not believing that Jesus could forgive him. In Judas's mind, what he had done was too great, too terrible, too wrong, too sinful. For Judas, he thought Jesus, Christ Jesus, could not offer forgiveness for deeds such as these. You see, he thought his sin was too big, even for Jesus, to take care of. Now, Peter, on the other hand, when we look at what he's doing in our reading tonight, we see something perhaps a little bit different, at least in terms of his reaction to the situation. Now, he betrays Jesus as well. 3 times, in fact, not just once, like Judas. Peter would rather save his own skin than be counted as a Jesus follower. Peter doesn't even need the authorities to question him either. In fact, he runs away as a coward when questioned by a servant girl, a young girl, a maid, right, and bystanders, randomly, about his faith. So Peter is firmly in the same camp as Judas during Passion Week. And yet, why does Peter become the chief apostle and great confessor of the cross? Because Peter believes when Jesus reinstates him. Peter believes that the love of Jesus can overcome even what he has done. Peter knows his sins are grievous. He's aware of that. But he also recognizes something far more important. Peter knows that Jesus does the things that he promises to do. Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, and they cease their storming. Jesus commands unclean spirits to come out, and they do. Jesus tells the lame and crippled to get up and walk, and they can leap for joy. And yes, when Jesus commands sins to be forgiven, they are. You see, at the cross, he pays for those very sins of the world. So Peter receives grace through faith for the forgiveness of sins because he believes in the promises that his Lord and Savior has made. Is Peter's sin great? Yes. Are our sins great? Absolutely. But thanks be to God that in Christ Jesus, his love covers over both Peter's sin and ours. So when we feel so ashamed of our sins and cast down by what we've done, we don't need to hide them from our Lord. Instead, what we do is we trust God is who he says he is. He's one who forgives all sins at the cross. He's one who promises redemption to the repentant. So we, therefore, bring our sins with us to the foot of the cross, and we dwell there with Christ the crucified, because it's at the cross where sin is paid for and it's taken away. So this is why Peter is such a great example for us. We often fail at being good Christians and good confessors of the faith. Yet we, like Peter, know that as great as our sin is, our Savior is even greater than this. When Jesus tells us that we will have life in his name, we can trust that this is true. And this is why we hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. You see, Jesus has promised to call us out of our trespasses and into life by taking away our sin, placing it upon himself, and paying for it on the cross, finally, both now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We continue with the canticle, page 231. We stand to sing.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense. Spirit, rejoice in sin.
spiritual friendship to be placed in the basket as we leave. You may be seated. Continue with the Kyrie on page 233. We stand to sing.
Holy Spirit, be with you all.